Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. We're actually in a wedding venue currently at the moment.
We are indeed.
and that's not an exaggeration.
It was lovely, Rick. Thanks so much. I was honoured. I was flattered.
Well, because we couldn't have any guests, we'd love to have invited everyone from the podcast. We appreciate that, but we can't have any guests at the moment. So it's just me, Guy, in an empty wedding venue down here at the Marriott Worsley Park. So we've done some filming this morning. I'm actually playing golf tomorrow, so we've recorded the podcast early for your pleasure so that you are not going to miss out on your Tuesday. We've got loads to cover. It's the day after the US Open Championship where Bryson DeChambeau was crowned the victor, the winner, by 6 shots in the end. It's his first major tournament, so we're going to go and talk on that because, well, one, you watched the golf.
I did.
And I did. So we've actually, believe it or not, everybody listening this week, you might actually get some golf.
Don't expect it to be good quality for me. I'm not the most in-depth, like obsessive, like stats guy, but I watched it and I've got a lot to say about it, Rick.
I'm excited to hear what you have to say. I think you were a Bryson supporter there, so we're going to come on to that. Also, massive news for the podcast, which we'll come on to. Well, we'll come on to it now. We are pretty much, as this episode now is aired,
as people are listening,
we are happy to announce we have just surpassed the 1 million download mark for the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody.
Wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
That is pretty amazing. Like, we thought we'd get 6 episodes in. We're now on episode number 40, is this?
Yes, 40.
Wow. And we 1 million downloads. Also, we have just gone on to Apple Podcast, where we are the 14th.
No. Amazon.
Sorry. Amazon. Jeff Bezos.
I don't want to break it to you, Rick. We've been on Apple for the last 40 episodes.
I know, sorry about that. Amazon podcast now, where we are actually currently trending at number 14 in the whole of sport.
Jeff Bezos gave us an offer to go on Amazon that we couldn't refuse. So we had to accept his check. It was nice. And now we're on Amazon Music.
It bounced, which was a shame. In all seriousness, we are 1 million million followers now. We still have no sponsor for the podcast. So if you do want to sponsor it, I mean, Guy's getting hungry. He's not eating for a while because
shoes have got holes in.
I currently can't pay him for the podcast. So if you are listening and you are from a blue chip, high established company, such as
Monster Energy is our favourite,
or Oreos, get in touch.
Red Bull.
Email podcast@rickshields.com or email info@rickshields.com to get involved in the number one podcast in golf in the UK and currently number 2 podcast in golf in the US of A. Thank you so much to all our American listeners.
I will promote anything, just so you know. Like, as you know,
I'm a bit more picky.
Watch how convenient, convincing I can be. So, for example, you know, and the listeners probably know, Monster's my favourite energy drink. But if Red Bull want to sponsor us, I can change. So,
you would drop Monster in a heartbeat.
I love Red Bull. It quenches my thirst on warm days. It gives me a little bit of pickup I need when I'm 9 holes in. I'm starting to fly. And
whoa! Let me stop you there. You don't get any more than, people don't get more than that unless they have paid. So, Okay. Guys, we are looking for sponsorship, and we're not joking. We are actually looking. But either way, we've got loads of action-packed episode. We've got some Dear Golf stories, which Guy's got from the email.
Yes, that's the new feature running this week. Dear Rick.
We've got some quick-fire questions. I can't speak today. Quick-fire questions coming from Facebook. And also, there might be, rumours have it, that I'm trying to get a coaching contract with one of the biggest names in boxing.
Well, it's only 2 letters, but yeah.
We'll come to that later on in the episode. So let's talk US Open first, Guy. I feel like this is going to be a very serious, grown-up conversation about golf.
I try. First things first, I've come to the conclusion golf events should be 2 days.
Saturday, Sunday,
because I tried my best on Thursday to watch the golf, right? And I probably watched half an hour because I almost feel like, what is the point?
I watched the highlights Thursday.
Yeah.
Just because I want to know who shot a great score.
Fishing around the top.
Yeah. Who's had a nightmare Thursday, unexpected nightmare. Who's around the top? Who's, you know, there was two hole-in-ones on the first day, which was pretty amazing. And the guy who, I can't remember his name, not Patrick Reed, because he had one, but the other guy who had one, on the 13th, he got his hole-in-one, but on the 7th hole, he actually hit the flag as well. And he could have easily got two hole-in-ones in the same day.
You're selling it to me to some degree, but I just don't really want to sit, other than the Open, which I will happily watch Thursday to Sunday.
Masters
I will as well. I don't know what it is with the other ones. I just don't get massively excited. Now, I know, again, people listening who are probably really hardcore golf fans think I'm talking rubbish. That's just my opinion. However, what I did do then is I got a little bit more into it Friday, a little bit more into it Saturday, and then Sunday I committed to watching from Bryson and Matthew Wolff's fifth hole through all the way to 18.
Yeah.
So I feel like I got a good amount on that last day to see how Bryson managed to dominate. And that is, I think that's the word for it.
He dominated. His display of power, skill, finesse, intelligence far outweighed any of his competitors. As much as they tried, as much as they kept him right up until the back nine come Sunday, and then he just absolutely tore away. Going on that point, here's my theory. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you think we don't get into Thursday, Friday, certainly at courses at the US Open and maybe the PGA Championship, because we don't know the golf courses?
Possibly.
But then does that also weigh up for, let's say, when you watch the Open Championship on a Thursday at, let's say, Royal St. George's, which might be a course you're not familiar with, let's say?
I think, for me, like, I'm a very casual boxing fan. So, like, I'm not the kind of person that listens to boxing podcasts all year round. But when there's, like, a big Anthony Joshua fight, Tyson Fury fight, whatever it might be, I do get really into it. And I often end up buying them on subscription for, like, £20 to watch them. But the difference is with boxing, certainly heavyweight boxing, it can be over in one round. It could be over in the second round. You need to be watching it constantly from the bell to not miss anything. But with golf, certainly with a major championship that starts on a Thursday at, like, say, 5 o'clock in the UK or whatever it might be. Well, in fact, it was earlier than that, wasn't it? It wasn't like lunchtime over here. I just don't really get that excitement. Like, if Tiger's playing, yeah, I do like watching Tiger, clearly. But what fun do you get from watching Justin Rose at a level par, let's say, on the first round?
Yeah, and I wonder whether you, me, and probably hundreds of thousands of people around the world would have been watching Sunday night if, and no disrespect to these golfers, it would have been a head-to-head between Harris English,
yeah,
and Louis Oosthuizen.
No, I wouldn't probably have been watching.
Do you know, I was interested because of two counts. I wanted Matt Wolff, mm-hmm, up and coming, rookie, amazingly different golf swing. I really like his persona, his styling. He's cool, he's fresh for the game. You know, this idea of swing your own swing, he encapsulates it all. His coach, George Gankus, is just ridiculously cool, and what he's done for the golf game, again, is amazing. So that, you've got him on one side of the spectrum, and you have Bryson DeChambeau, you know, the mad scientist, the beast, the Hulk, who's put on all this weight, all this clubhead speed, all this power, but yet still acquires that kind of finesse and touch. I wanted one of those two to win.
Yeah,
that was my only outcome. I wanted those two to win. I wanted it to be a close battle. I didn't want either of them to fall away by the wayside and somebody that maybe I wasn't as invested in took victory. I just didn't want that. And that's why Sunday, I absolutely couldn't wait to get it to start. I was thinking about it all Sunday morning.
Really?
Yeah, and that's rare for me. Like, really rare. Because I'm more, if I'm honest, probably more in the camp of Matt Wolff. Like, I wanted to know how was he feeling that day? Like, he's just gone out and shot an unbelievable 65 on Saturday. Like, he was 5 under through the front nine and held on to the back nine. In fact, I watched a lot of golf on Saturday as well. Held on all the back nine to shoot level par back nine and finish 5 under. Like, how the hell does he go to sleep that night? What does he do? Does he go on social media? Does he not? You know, is when he wakes up that morning, he's got his outfit ready. Is he literally, you know, putting it on and thinking to himself, if I win today, this is the outfit I'm going to be known for the rest of my life. I
don't think you can think like that. I know what you mean. I think that's
I would. Yeah, well, but I'd be doing practice swings in the mirror.
That's why we're not the world's best golfers, because I think they have to some degree have the ability to switch off. Don't be wrong, I'm sure he was thinking some of those things and trying his best not to. But if they let it get to him so much, he would have just collapsed. I know he didn't have the best ever final round, but he was still decent. When he followed Bryson with that eagle, showed real guts. The only thing I noticed a little bit with him, I said this to you before we recorded, I actually got Abby to watch it with me. Abby got really into it, she was watching it. And she kind of noticed, and she didn't really know much about golf, that he kept, after he missed a putt, he was slamming the ground a bit and slapping his putter. And in terms of, I know it can be quite good sometimes to let some emotion out and then forget about it. I don't know if that held him back a little bit, his frustration, which I can understand. You know, he wanted to win. However, I think still for his profile, to come second in the US Open will be so big, because obviously we'd heard of him before, but there'll be a lot of casual fans who would never have really known who he is. Obviously, he's got unique swings, that gets him some eyeballs. But the fact he's come second now, from a marketing point of view, from the brands that sponsor him, I'm sure he'll get big bonuses and stuff for getting a top five in a major. That will massively now put him up to that next level. And if he can handle that extra little bit of pressure he's going to get now into majors, there's no reason why he can't go on to be an absolute beast.
Not for 1 minute, I must admit, that I think he was going to do it. The odds were so stacked up against him. Even though he had a 2-shot lead going into the final round, he would have been the first ever debutant.
Yeah, since, was it 100 years or
107
something?
Years. That so like, he would have been the first golfer ever to play in his first US Open and win it, which, you know, that is just mental. And obviously all the pressure and everything else. And I just knew that Bryson was not going to make a mistake, and he really didn't. So Matt Wolf would have had to go out and shoot a 3-under. He'd have had to shoot under par to win. And I think Bryson was the only player on the field yesterday that shot under par.
I think he was.
I mean, it's just an unbelievable display. So that's Matt Wolf, and a bit of that. Talk to me about Bryson.
I'm one of those weird people, almost a horrible person, who can sometimes dislike a golfer for how they swing it or how they dress. I know that sounds stupid, but naturally I have my favourite. So, for example, I've never been a fan of Bubba. I hate how he swings. I hate the visors he wears. I hate how he plays a big watch on his wrist. I hate how he plays a coloured ball. I'm sure he puts his glove on, or has done. Things like that. I know it sounds so petty and so ridiculous, but I just don't know why.
The things that you wouldn't do, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a lovely bloke and he's won majors. He doesn't really care what Guy Charnett thinks about him. I get that. But
we had number one podcast in golf, though, right?
He should care what I think. but I don't know what it is, I'll be honest. Now, similarly with Bryson, I hate the hats he wears. I know it shouldn't matter. People are listening. I don't know why I don't like him. I think he looks better in a baseball cap. I wasn't a massive fan of how he puts. I don't really have much feeling about the single length, if it works in whatever. So before lockdown, when he was kind of just the usual guy, and he was quite technical and quite nerdy and air density and all that stuff, I wasn't really that fussed on him. But what I love is how he's got absolutely hench. That might not make sense in America, but he's put on a lot of weight.
Beefed up.
Yeah, he's beefed up. He's gone really strong. He's hitting the ball like 188 ball speed, which is just ludicrous when you're playing in a major tournament with massive thick rough down the side of the fairway. And I think I like him more because it's annoying people and people are hating on him. I can't understand how you can hate somebody for improving at the sport.
Yeah. He's definitely changed. He's leveled up. He has recognised that, you know, he's an incredibly intelligent person. I mean, I remember when he won the US Amateur and he burst onto the scene of this kind of, you know, mad scientist.
5 years ago?
Is that what it was?
How quick he's gone.
Unbelievable. I must admit, I don't know if it was this year. I think it was the start of this year in Dubai when he played, I think in January or February time. I did say by the end of this year, he will be world number one. And I don't know if it's still possible. He'll be top five, I think. I don't know if it's still possible. Depends what he probably does at the Masters now. But for me, he comes at golf with it's nothing is guesswork. It is so unbelievably calculated. What is he now?
Five.
He is five.
Yeah.
So what's top four now? DJ.
John.
John Rahm.
Justin.
Justin
Rose,
Thomas. Rory.
Bryson.
Is that updated today?
I think it is, yeah.
You know, so I feel like he could easily become world number one this year. And what I like about him as a person is not as a person. This is where it's different. As a person,
I don't know him as a person yet.
I really like him. I think he's very well mannered. I think it's quite calculated to some description, but I think a lot of them are because of the media training and everything they go through. But all the clips I've seen from him behind the scenes, I've even seen like funny little skits that he's done, like taking the Caddyshack. He did a scene from Caddyshack where he was pretending to be like one of the characters, and it was a really insightful view of him. One of the weirdest things I remember seeing was that weird video that he posted on his IGTV.
Where he was in the gym and it was all weird. That dead so weird.
Where he was like moving house and he was in the gym. This was like his lockdown kind of vlog, but there was no talking. It was very, very strange. I mean, I would suspect, I mean, I don't, is he married? Has he got a girlfriend? I think he's single. Like, what does he do apart from golf?
I think it's all about getting better at golf.
Yeah.
So did you see that clip? He was on the range on Saturday night
when
it was dark and he left the floodlights on. And obviously he's had to spend a lot of time in the gym to put so much weight on. And to be fair, you can tell it's muscle and a bit of fat. Like, he's not absolutely shredded to the bone like Rory is. You can see around his T-shirt when it's tucked in. So he's all... But the reason I'm saying that, I know it's a bit weird comment on his looks, it's not about that. It's about the fact that he's doing it for performance. It's not vanity, is it? Like,
no.
If he's doing it for vanity, he'd have like low body fat. He's doing it for performance, and apparently he wants to get even bigger for the Masters in November.
Wow.
I don't have a problem with it. If hitting it long was the only thing that mattered, then the long drive guys would be on the PGA Tour winning when they're not. The only thing I thought was funny, and this sounds weird now, is how Cobra feel about it. Now, the reason I say that, obviously I'm sure that absolutely over the moon that the arguably their marquee player now has won a major. Amazing. But how much money they've invested into the one length story and creating these one length irons, no one's really going to talk about that now. Well, it's about how far he hits it.
Yeah, that's
so true. And that's good for their driver. But at the same time, you kind of, because he's put so much weight on and he's gone so muscly and hits it so hard, it's clear that that's why he's hitting it further. It's almost irrelevant that he's got a Cobra driver. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, he could be using any driver.
Yeah, so it's like he's using Cobra clubs. That's great for them. But his putting was class, which isn't a Cobra putter. His irons, I'm sure, obviously, we don't know the stats, but his irons were great, but whatever. But his driving was phenomenal since he's come back with this massive, muscly physique. But yeah, I feel like almost the Cobra messaging gets lost a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how they leverage that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've spoke about trying to get a Bryson driver. I think that's something we definitely need to get hold of because, like I say, the specs, again, it's like 5.5 degrees, ridiculously. Yeah, I think it's extra stiff, not stupid, like not long drive. But how well he puts it in play is just astonishing as well. Like, he is ridiculously long, but he drives it so frigging straight.
And that rough was literally mad, and it was like a yard crazy. Off. And he was in that quite a lot, but he was always hitting a lot of fairways.
Yeah. Well, I watched Eric Anders Lang. He does like a break 90 series. Yeah. And I watched it around Winged Foot. I was watching it almost cringing all the way around at the fact it made me nervous.
What did he shoot in the end?
92.
That's good.
It made me nervous watching him.
Yeah.
Like, it was an uncomfortable, like, every shot he hit was just so hard. Like, this was talking about Eric. Like, every shot he had to try and hit was just impossible. Like, even if it's just a dead simple chip, it was so hard.
Well, that's what I was thinking. This sounds obvious now, but not only is the rough long, obviously, where you hit your tee shot from, but let's just say an average golfer, we played that and we missed the fairway on a long par four, and we've now got 200 yards left in. Not only am I trying to hit a 4-iron or a hybrid or whatever out of long rough, if I didn't miss the green, which obviously I probably will do, the rough then just is massive.
It's ridiculous.
Then you put in your chip nowhere near. Then you've got a 30-footer on rapid greens. That's probably going to get three stabbed. So it's like, I'm double bogeying holes from one tee shot that wasn't actually that bad.
Yeah. You literally have to, if you are going to hit it offline, you have to do what Bryson and Matt Wolf did. Just absolutely bomb it as far as you could.
Do you like how the game's going with distance? One word answer, then I want you to elaborate.
I don't know if I can do one word. Do I like how it's going? Let me just answer that one as a one word. Yes.
Okay.
However, I've got mixed feelings. Okay. Let me explain. I've always felt, regardless of my playing ability. Sorry, by the way. We're in a wedding venue and there's a fridge, an empty fridge, actually. It's been a good wedding, but it has a little bit of a rattle going on when it's working. It might just be on for 5-10 minutes. Let me just pause it and we'll come back to that in a sec. Okay, so we've checked back the audio. I don't think you can hear the rattle. So what I'll say is, yes, I like how it's going. I do. But as a golf professional, I must admit, certainly at my level, and I'm only talking now completely and utterly being selfish right now for me playing golf, I always felt like I could play golf with a tour pro and be somewhat similar. And what I mean by that, my best shot is like their best shot. Mm-hmm. It's like their normal shot, let's say.
You smack one, that's what such a buddy might do every time and better.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, it was almost in reach. Not, and I'm, again, I'm talking completely selfishly here now. I would play with Bryson and I would feel like I was playing a different game. I'd feel like he was playing a different game to me. I'd be so far behind that I don't feel like I could quantify it. And that's me. And also, let's say seriously, right now, if I wanted to hand on heart, say, right, for the next 5 years, I'm going to quit everything. I'm not going to play YouTube. I'm going to move away from my family. I'm going to play golf every single day and try and get on tour because I know my good shot is as good as the good shots of best players in the world, right? I'm not saying I'd do it, but I feel like I'd be able to work really hard to get to a point where I'd could compete at a very high level. Not the best in the world, but a very high level. That you know, I honestly don't believe now I could, like, compared to Bryson.
But I suppose it kind of depends on how you're looking at it, because I'm watching it to entertain myself. So, for example, if I'm watching again, I'm going to go up to boxing for a second. I know I can't fight against Anthony Joshua. Yeah. He's going to destroy me.
I'm only talking from an absolute personal standpoint. From the world of golf, again, maybe this is, again, that I feel like in golf we are in an unbelievably unique position that we get to play golf on golf courses that the best players in the world play, whether that's Open Championship courses or wherever it may be. I feel like you at least play on the same level field and you're playing somewhat the same sport. I feel like now, maybe more than ever, that this new era of Bryson DeChambeau, Matt Wolf, or, you know, the big hitters are now starting to play a different game. Like, I do feel like that. I don't think it's massively bad for golf. You know, I think there's going to be a new breed of ridiculously long golfers. There is this concern / worry about golf courses and the longevity of golf courses, and do they have to keep building really tough ones? But Bryson this week was an anomaly in those stats. He was the only player to finish under par. Yeah, he was 6 under, but that was the nearest after that was Matt Wolf at level par.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I've absolutely not got an issue with it. At the end of the day, somebody's always going to be the best at a sport and win an event, and they're going to do that by getting the ball in the hole in the least amount of strokes possible. So if he's found a way, which he has, to better himself, hit the ball longer, leave himself easier shots into greens, even if he is in the rough, he's then going to put it closer in because he's closer to the hole to start with, and he has to roll the putts in, which he was doing, then I think it's fine. Sports do evolve. It's like in football or soccer now. The role of a goalkeeper's evolved. Now you've got to be amazing with your feet as well. They don't just want keepers that can stop the ball. They have to have a sweeper keeper where they can pass the ball, they can pick out a pass, they're comfortable with it in the feet as well, not just grabbing hold of it. Things just change. It might be a fashion. It might go, if somebody comes out, I mean, Morikawa's not the longest guy in the world, is he? But he's all, like, was great with his irons. But this week, he missed the cut, I think.
Yeah, I think he did.
He was like 10 over or 6 over, something anyway. So I think people are going to hate it. I think it worries people. It scares people. People find it unrelatable. I want to watch golf in a way that I can't relate to. I want to watch someone hitting 188 ball speed and carry 300 plus. True. Because if he's hitting it 280 and he's got 160 ball speed, I can just watch you in real life. Do you know what I mean? No, really. Like, that's the thing.
I know. No, I get that.
I think that's why I've become a bit of a closet, well, not even a closet Bryson fan. I've become a bit of a Bryson fan because it's annoying people and I like that. Yeah. Weirdly.
Well, I just last night literally put a tweet out. I'm just trying to find it right now. And it went along the lines of, are you happy that Bryson DeChambeau won? Yes or no? And this was, he was actually currently on the 17th hole when I asked this question. So it's been up for 14 hours. We've had 10,000 votes. Are you happy Bryson has won this? Just out of interest, I'm discussing it on the podcast. I would have been interested to know on this on other players as well. Yes, won, thankfully, by 60%. So 40% of like 4,000 people from my little poll that I did didn't want, are not happy that he won. Like, isn't that quite crazy? Like, I can't think, maybe bar Patrick Reed,
yeah,
where those numbers would probably be the other way around, if not more. Like, what, would that be different for Matt Wolff? Would that have been 90-10? Would that even been 99%? I think
sometimes, though, you have to have a profile in the first place for people not to like you if that gets...
That's true.
I don't know enough about Matt Wolff to really care if he wins or not yet. And someone like Louis Oosthuizen is obviously a really successful guy, or like a Zach Johnson who've won majors themselves. But I wouldn't really care if they win or not. So I think it's almost testament to Bryson in some regards that he has created a profile. I feel like I'm done. We're talking about golf now, Rick.
No, I'm just reading some of these, like, some of these comments are mad. Like, a lot of them are positive, but, like, couldn't have asked for a worse outcome. Damn it. Now this will go to his head and totally overinflate his already overinflated ego.
Oh, get a life. Sad. Spend your Sunday night tweeting about a golfer you don't like. He's won. Get over it.
I know. Anyway.
Anyway, speaking of, so that's our golf talk for the week done. I feel like we can relax now.
I feel like we've talked about it for the year. It got too, this is the problem with golf, like, we got too deep. If it's just been a happy, like, oh, well done, whoever, Louis Oosthuizen, well done on your win. Next.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you've not tuned into the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast to listen to us talk about golf, have you? Let's be honest. So we've spent however many minutes, let's call it 20 minutes there, Rick, I'm guessing.
25
minutes talking about golf. So,
no. Sorry about that. Sorry for our normal listeners.
Yeah, and also, we've noticed, which is really good, that people listen to the podcast, like, well after they've come out. So people might tune into episode 1, like, today, and then be on episode 40 in, like, 4 weeks. So this is all old news. So hello to everyone listening to the future.
And if this is the case, tell me if Bryson DeChambeau is now world number one.
Yeah. Let us know if you've got a flying car, because you could have by then. Things change. Things move fast. So the next thing we're going to cover, and we can't say too much about it, Rick, so I'm going to have to keep an eye and ear on everything you say to make sure we don't cross any contractual, well, not contractual, but we've not signed anything in embargo-wise. But we've said to Titleist, we'll review the driver. We'll give it the most honest, impartial review that you guys know you're going to get in your YouTube subscription feed. We can't say what date it's coming, but it's coming fairly soon.
Can we not say a date?
No.
Oh, I've already said a date somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Well, Rick, we won't say it again. if I said the 15th of Snoctober... that's not a date, is it? The 15th of Snoctober.
But it's sounds somewhere between the 14th and 16th of
Snoctober.
Okay.
So there's two new drivers from Titleist. There's a TSI 2 and TSI 3. I've hit them already, hit them horrendously. Rick's hit them and hit them better than horrendously. I would say you've hit them well.
Yeah, decent.
Give me a little bit of a sneak. Give the listeners a bit of a... What, I'm trying to think of a good word. Like, what...
I don't know what you're doing with your
hand. I liked it last week when you said that you were going to marinate something. I really enjoyed that. This is more like wetting the whistle. So wet people's whistles, Rick.
Well, I'm an expert at wetting whistles. so TSI 2, TSI 3. Already, weirdly, the name comes off the tongue easy.
It does.
Like, when I first heard TSI 2 and TSI 3, I was like, oh, I'm going to get really confused between TS2 and TS3, which are their current drivers.
Old stock.
They are gone. If you've got TS2 or TS3 in the bag now, you are outdated.
You are indeed.
So TSI 2 is the bigger head.
Yeah.
Well, let's even say all this. Bigger headed, more forgiving model. Yeah, TSI 3 is slightly smaller.
It's not talk about the tech too much, just talk about the difference. Yeah, it's fine.
Anyway, good drivers, look good, perform well. We'll be coming to a full review very soon. But I've been on the golf course today, hit them, and pleased, but we'll see in the full review. I don't want to give you too much.
What should someone do if they want to make sure they don't miss that review as soon as it drops?
Well, it's very simple, actually, Guy. I'm glad you asked.
So let me start thinking. I've got an iPhone, right? And I've got the YouTube app.
That's a great start.
I'm not really, I don't use it, but I watch your odd video, it just pops up. So what I want to make sure that I don't miss that video on the 15th of whatever date it is. So what do I need to do next?
15th and not this month, but next.
Yeah.
Well, it's quite easy. You open YouTube.
Okay, yeah, I've done
on
that.
Your phone. And there's a little magnifying glass right in the top right corner.
Oh, yeah.
Click that.
Okay.
And a search YouTube comes up. Now, this is very simple. This is the easy bit. My name is Rick Shields. R-I-C-K, surname not as easy, but S-H-I-E-L-S.
I always thought your name was Shields.
I know, tell me about it.
A
red logo with an R and an S on it. You click that.
Yeah, I've done that.
And on there, you will find the number one YouTube golf channel in YouTube land.
Yeah.
You can see there, Rick Shields Golf, picture of me.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that picture was taken 3 years ago.
Yeah, got a beard though.
Maybe even longer,
still.
4 years ago.
So I've got, I think, to like subscribe.
Should I subscribe. So listen, before you do that, don't be scared.
Oh, well, how much is it going to cost me? $5.99. I pay $10.99 a month for Netflix, I think it is. So is
well,
it...
well, today I'm going to do you a deal.
Okay.
For you only, if you press that button today,
yeah,
it is going to be free of charge.
Pressed. Instantly pressed it.
No strings attached. You will sign up to the fastest growing, the best growing, I don't know what best growing means, YouTube channel in the whole of golf, and maybe even people say sport. Hey, listen, some people I've even heard say the world, the best YouTube channel
in the world.
So
I will now see that video straight away, or is anything else I have to
Not
do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know. Tell
this
me about
this
it.
Is that, all right, okay,
I know. I wish it was that easy. I did. So right next to subscribe, there'll be a little bell.
Yeah.
Hit that bell.
Yeah.
And a little drop down will come down saying notifications. Yeah. Now, there's one there that says all.
That. So I'll click that
just,
one.
Yeah, right, if I was you, listen, I don't want to tell you what to do, but if I was you, I'd click that. And then once you've clicked that, you are subscribed to Rick Shields Golf YouTube channel. And when I release the video on the 15th of October, you will have a email. If you have the app notifications
actually
turned on,
doing emails actually YouTube anyway. You might still get an email.
You'll somehow a pixie will fly down, whispering in your ear, going, "Rick's released the title of this video. Go watch it."
It'll be about 10 minutes long. It'll be all right. It'll be decent.
It'll be the best review, in-depth, honest, independent review you will see on the whole of the internet on the 15th of October.
Good. Well,
so that video is going to come out very soon.
That filled a couple of minutes. So we're not going to do this just yet, but we will shortly. Our new feature, Dear Rick.
Okay.
Now, we have had this last week, Rick. I told you before, off, I was going to say camera, off mic, that our email inbox is getting inundated.
Yeah, too full. I've turned it off on my phone.
Yeah, of course.
I've never had it on my phone.
No, he's not. It's really good, though. And this week, we're going to be not going to go through too many emails. Next week, I think. In fact, no. So next week, I'm actually away on holiday. It's my 30th birthday. If anyone wants to send me anything, feel free to do so. We'll quickly set up a PO box address so you can do that. We're going to record another one on Friday, I think, with possibly a guest. So next week's might be a bit of a more of a casual chat and not so many features. The week after that, now I know I'm going a long way in the future here, we are going to go feature heavy. Whoa. We're talking listener of the week. We're talking your Dear Ricks. We're talking your nightmare golf shots. You know it by now. What to do. Emails, podcast at rickshields.com. Before that, though, I will just do a quick listener of the week because it was a good one, Rick, and I think you'll like it. Well, okay. You like it as much as you normally would like one. It's no better, no worse. Now, I did see, actually, a comment on the podcast Instagram page. Somebody had written something like, "Big fan of the podcast, but I think you need to stop the listener of the week bit where you go over all the things that people have subscribed or liked because it's like self-promotion." Well, to that person, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's unapologetically. We want people to subscribe on every platform. This week's listener of the week is Andrew, right? Now, annoyingly, I can't quite pronounce his surname. I'm going to go with Norsley. It's N-A-U-S-L-E-Y.
Okay.
Andrew Norsley. Okay.
I even just like to call him Andy.
I call him Norzo because I'm a big fan of him, and you'll soon see why. So he's put, "Hi, Guy and Rick." So straight away, he got my attention. He's in. He's got a...
Subject?
Subject was simply... Guy and Rick, listener of the week. So straight away...
Oh, he knows how to work the system.
Andy, he's a box ticker, isn't he? On his curriculum vitae, he should just write at the top, "I tick boxes," because he does. That's what he does.
Professional box tick.
So there you go, Guy. I followed the main rule. Now for the rest of the criteria. So he's gone screenshots galore as well. Member of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group on Facebook, brackets founder member.
Ooh.
Boom. Follow the Rick Shields Facebook page. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. YouTube subscriber to both pages.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Second of which, we'll start getting videos uploaded next week.
Yeah.
Instagram follower on both the accounts, TikTok follower.
Wow.
Fun fact, I previously had one of my questions read out on the air, on the past episode. I was once asked if there will ever be Rixio's merch available. There may well
be. Andy, you will be the first you'll be the first in line for the Rixio's merchandise.
And then he's got all these screenshots for evidence. Because it's all well and good saying those things. Anyone can lie. Anyone's partial to odd lie.
All screenshots.
So he's got TikTok. He has got the second channel. He's got the main channel. He's got the Spotify. He's got the Facebook. He's got the main Facebook. The Rixio's golf show. He actually follows me as well. So that gave him a bonus point. But yeah, it ticked all the boxes. And he's from Missouri. In the USA.
Very good, Andy.
There's a bit more in that, but that was enough airtime.
Andy, listener of the week, congratulations for episode number 40 for our 1,000,000th download episode. You are the listener of the week. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Why don't we then, Rick? Let's set something up now. Everybody gets the listener of the week applications in, podcast@rickshields.com.
I feel like we need an application form.
Possibly do. Make your own form.
A downloadable form that people have to fill out.
The person, right, who gets it for episode 50, so in 10 episodes time,
okay,
will have to do something big.
All right.
I don't know what.
No.
Maybe that can be I don't know. Not just like a prize, like something.
Okay. A phone call. A FaceTime phone call.
Maybe we can call them and insert it into the podcast.
Little nine holes golf if you're local.
Yeah. If you're in the UK... And you can get to the Marriott Worsley Park.
We could maybe play nine holes. To nine holes.
You could witness the 12 yards in action, which is obviously what you want to see. You can watch Rick.
You'll see Guy hit driver once.
Yeah.
When he's no risk.
I've got no out of bounds. I've got massive
fairways. I feel like I don't know your golf game anymore. Because when we played only a few weeks ago and we discussed it on the podcast, you were dialed in. You were there.
I like I'm a good player.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I shot lights out to win, but you were there. Yeah. Now, you're telling me, driver, you don't know where it's going again.
I'm a hustler, baby. I just want to know. So, let's talk about your dear Rick. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Now, we need a theme tune to this. Maybe when we get to like over a year old, maybe like November time, we should actually insert some jingles into the podcast. It's more work, admittedly.
well, we're thinking of recruiting anyway, so that'll be good.
Yeah, actually, that would be really good. So, dear Rick, now I need to be paying full attention to this, okay?
Me too.
Because you need to get really...
Me paying full attention.
Yeah, because you need to answer this.
Okay, and I'm listening as always.
He stayed anonymous, which is good, because we actually said, if you want to stay anonymous, let us know. But it's not like... So basically, it says, Dear Rick and Guy. So straight away, he's ticked the box. Dear Rick, forget me.
This is called Dear Rick.
Forget me. You don't even have to have me on it at all. But the title was just Dear Rick, and it's what Dear Rick and Guy, so it's perfect. I've not said the person's name, have I? I just said it's anonymous. I was about to say it.
Dave.
Then. No, yeah, okay, you can be called Dave. It's not Dave. I've been playing golf on and off for 30 years.
Okay.
Started when I was 11 years old, and I've had a few breaks on the way due to university and some of the life changes.
Nice.
At the best, I was a 6 handicap, but that was before a mortgage, wife, kids, you know, the usual stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that stops you from playing golf.
The rubbish stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Joking.
The life stuff.
These days, I'm playing a 14, and it's drifting up. I get off the course about once a fortnight, and if I'm lucky, I can get to the range a couple of times in between that. So I know I'm not playing enough to improve, but I am getting worse, and a lot worse. Added to that, I've developed some chipping yips, which Rick's going to relate into that. Probably started because of my technique. But I haven't been able to get consistent playing time to fix any of the issues, and I'm not sure a lesson is worthwhile because I can't practice with a pro. Whatever they tell me, I can't practice. This all collectively adds up to me not having much fun on the course anymore because my standard of play is so far beneath what I know I'm capable of. Which is, if he's off six before, yeah, he knows exactly. That's true.
That must be hard.
I've lowered my expectations, but I'm so far away from where I can be, it's continually depressing. I've got some rounds booked through to the end of the year, and after those are done, I'm seriously thinking about either quitting or taking a long break from the game. Any advice, Rick? So just before you answer this, you could make or break this guy's career.
I was listening.
Yeah.
But just tell me why did he not want lessons again?
Just because he feels like, say if he goes for a lesson, he says you need to change X, Y, and Z, get in this position. He can't then actually practice enough to put that in play. And not that he said this now, but it might be a case of like, he thinks financially if it's 50 quid for a lesson, he can't really work on it might be money down the drain. So,
yeah, I mean, that would be my, I feel like I need to come into Dear Rick mindset here. I might have to get like a white coat and like some,
get you a pair of glasses.
Some glasses or something.
Pipe maybe.
So obviously, it's from what he's saying there, I understand, I can relate to quite a lot of it in some regards, because I understand life does get in the way. Family, mortgages, work, etc. If you are a recreational golfer, it is hard to play golf. Like, it 100%. Takes a long time.
And it's a long game to actually
That's
play.
What I mean. So, like, you only playing once every 2 weeks is very tough, and only getting a couple of practice sessions in between that, again, quite challenging on you. So every time then you go and play, you probably, you know, you go with some expectation level, because I think that's one of the things that I fear the most is when I'm, personally, I'm talking about me again, it's all about me, when I get to a point where I can't hit the shots that I knew I used to be able to hit.
Yeah.
Like, I can still hit the shots that I should be able to hit. Like, if he was a 6 handicap, he's played at a good level, he's used to shooting mid-70s,
yeah,
and now he's struggling to break 90,
yeah,
yet he'll think in his head that he's still a 6 handicapper.
Yeah.
Like, those thoughts don't go away, you know, so that must be quite a hard thing to overcome to some regards. Regards to chipping yips, I think this is where possibly we should start. Yes, I understand going for a lesson is expensive, I get it. But if you can even get onto some sort of a course, so the one way of being able to reduce the cost would be to go onto some of these, I'm trying to think what they call it, almost like
well,
a
just,
boot
just,
camp.
Just, as well, he's not necessarily said it's too expensive, it's just my interpretation that he thinks he can't get enough practice in as well.
So I get what
like,
you mean.
It's like, he might have the money, he might be a millionaire for all I know, but he doesn't think that what he gets told by a Rick Shields or whatever, a coach, he's then not going to be able to put into practice. So let's hear your take on that as well, as the financials also.
So, well, let's take the first take that he might feel like he gets too much information. I would just be super transparent with the coach that you go for and just go, right. And I used to get this loads when I was coaching at Trafford. I would ask the question, how much are you going to get a chance to practice? How much you get? Mm-hmm. And I'd say to him, please be honest. Like, please tell me the honest truth. Don't lie to me and tell me you're going to go 7 days a week, because you're not.
Pointless, yeah.
Tell me what you're going to do. And actually, a lot of them then would actually turn around and go, I'm going to ask Rick, I'm probably not going to practice this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's absolutely fine, because that changes my whole mindset in how I'm going to tweak your game now. I'm going to give you information that you can change now. This second, that you don't have to practice, that is going to instantly help you improve.
So you're saying if he goes on a lesson route, just be honest, be open.
Be dead honest.
Put your cards on the table.
I cannot have time to practice. It's just not me. I just don't do it. And the coach then will be able to adapt a lesson so that he might look at you and go, freaking hell, your grip really could be changing it. However, he's just told me he's not going to practice. I'm not going to change his grip. I'm going to make a couple of little tweaks and changes. I'm going to open the face up a little bit. I'm going to get him to aim a bit more left and feel like he's cutting across it, whatever it may be. Something that's very simple to actually take away directly from the
maybe
lesson.
A drill he could do at home would be
a
handy.
A drill at home are going to be amazing, or just something that you can do 5 minutes before you go and play. Something that's not too much of a high maintenance drill.
So in terms of coaching then, I think we've kind of covered that. He should just, if he wants to coach, get coaching
and just be dead
just
honest.
Go
or seek out some sort of like boot camp style coaching, because it's very popular now, where you go as a seminar, like a short game seminar, where you can go and spend maybe half a day. The cost would probably be about the same as a 1 hour lesson, but you're actually going to get 5 or 6 hours with a coach over half a day. So you can actually there get training, practice under the watchful eye of a coach and be able to kind of work it that way. And that again, hopefully, I'm not saying it's a perfect scenario at this, but at least then you'd be able to take away with you some information that you again can take into the next round of golf that you go and play. Last point, when should you give up or should you have a break? I actually don't think a break's a bad idea.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying quit.
Do you think he'll return, though, if he does break?
Yeah. That is maybe try and book something exciting for the future that you want to play. So let's say there's a golf course that you desperately played, you've never played before. Arrange with you and a couple of pals, you're going to play that golf course in March next year, and you plan to pick up the golf clubs again in maybe February or whatever it may be. But yeah, have December, January off. Like, take your mind off it. It does help. Like, having a bit of a respite, you're dead right. You know, I've never not thought, if I've ever had a bit of a time off from golf, I've never, obviously it's my job, I've never not once thought I'm not going to pick it up again.
Yeah.
You might be different with that.
Yeah.
Because I know you kind of go in and out of spells.
Yeah, I do, for sure.
Like, do you have to keep on it to stay focused on it? Or, like, if you dropped it for a few months, do you find it hard to pick it back up again?
What, the love of it or the ability?
Just more maybe the love and the actual motivation of getting the clubs out
there. My relationship with golf now is that I might only play 10 times a year, but that's okay. I think as well, what's weird for me is, I know that if I went out tomorrow, and even if I've not played for a year, and I played at a par 72, I'd expect to be around the 80 mark, because that's just what I've played most of my life. But I wouldn't be, that's obviously not amazing, is it? I wouldn't be able to break par. But I think, like, for me, just want something, I know this is clearly Dear Rick, it's not Dear Rick and Guy chipping in, but just a little thing, what I'd like to hear maybe your take on more, and something that I asked you before, actually, is I've recently got back into the gym doing weights, and honestly, I'm so weak, it's ridiculous. Like, I can't believe how weak I am. But equally, it was about 6 months ago before lockdown, I last really did weights. So in one way, I'm lifting weights thinking, this used to feel absolutely easy, and now it feels hard. I almost can't comprehend that. So that's quite negative and quite gets you down. But then I was thinking, actually, why don't I try and look at this a different way and think, when I was going to the gym 6 months ago, I didn't see myself as strong. But actually, I must have been fairly strong to lift weights that I was doing, if you're with me. So maybe what this person should do is actually think, well, I can't play golf as much now. I've got children. I've got a wife, got children, got a house, got a mortgage, got a busy job, whatever. Well, I can't be as good as I was because of all these factors. But maybe appreciate that you were a good golfer when you had less of those things in your life. And just actually enjoy getting out. I know it's easier said than done if you're losing ball after ball. But just see it as a different sport now. Yeah. See it as a different time in your life. It's a different...
You press reset, and you've had that life, and now you're coming back into it as maybe a 19 handicapper, but enjoy it.
Another silly analogy, I know it sounds stupid, but I don't know how old this guy is. Let's just say he's 40. I'm sure he's not in as good physical shape as he was when he was 20. Probably isn't, is he? But when you were 20, you were a single guy, maybe.
Yeah.
You lived for going to the gym. You burnt off food because you played soccer or football, whatever. Whereas now you're 40, you might have a bit of a belly, but you can't think, well, I'm a father, I've got a wife, as long as I'm fairly healthy. Like, you just have a different expectations, don't you?
Yeah.
So...
And I must admit, that's something I've kind of, every now and again, leaned on a little bit if I've played badly. I think to myself, well, yeah, but also, you've played badly because that time that you were going to practice, you ended up spending time with your kids, putting them to bed or taking them to the park or whatever it may be. So you can almost spin it on that and go, well, actually, that time that I could have been spent practicing, I might have missed out on other things that I didn't miss out on, like taking the kids to school or seeing them play at night or whatever.
So I'm going to try and condense this, Rick. Let me know if I'm on the right page. He should go for a lesson if he thinks he should.
Be honest.
And just be honest about it. And also maybe realign his expectations, just enjoy being out there and remember that he's not as much time as he used to have and whatever he shoots.
And if you do want a break, have a break, but try and put something in the future that's going to hook you back into the love of golf.
Well, that was very pleasant, Rick.
I like that.
So if you want to feature on next, we've actually had loads of good emails in and we might use some of those, but equally, if you've got a good Dear Rick and you want to feature next week, all you have to do is email podcast@rickshields.com.
I feel like I want some cheating ones.
Like cheating, like on the golf course, like, or no, in like, a relationship?
I play golf with a cheat, help.
Yeah. It can be anything. If also, like we said last time, it was really helpful that person did. If you want to be anonymous, say it in your email. I feel like that was, it's kind of a good way for people to get things off the chest as well.
I like it.
It's a serious podcast.
I know. Helps also me, us, everyone listening to put their feet in someone's different shoes, and that sometimes makes your own situation seem different, sometimes even better. Potentially you might appreciate your own situation. after listening to someone else's.
Do you want some quick fire questions? Medium quick fire. These are from the Facebook page. Josh, I nearly lost my teeth then. Josh has asked, what's Rick's favourite video he's ever made so far? I'll broaden this out and leave, get you have a top three.
It's a good question, isn't it?
It's hard, because you often get lost in the trap of going off ones that have those views.
I've just gone to the channel most popular.
I know your brain works.
Okay, here are the ones that I've enjoyed.
I'll give you five, not going to be counting. You can...
I might struggle to get that many. number one.
Right. Actually, it's proper number one.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Go on.
Tall Paul.
Which Tall Paul?
Any.
Any Tall Paul.
And it's more because of him.
Yeah.
Like, I loved filming with him.
Yeah.
He's such an amazing person.
I'm sure people listening know, giving Tall Paul an intro in one sentence just so people know who he is.
Tall Paul is a man called Paul Sturgis, who is an ex-professional basketball player, actor. He is a 7 handicapper.
Yeah.
And he's done all that while being the tallest man in Europe.
How tall is he? 6'9"?
He's a little bit bigger than that.
Go on.
7'7.5".
Yeah.
He's a beast. But not only that, he's such a bloody lovely guy. I mean, it's taken me probably a long time to think of Paul as Paul.
Not of his height.
Not as... I know I call him Tall Paul because it's easy to remember. But I think of Paul as a person.
Yeah.
And it sounds awful like that. True. Do you get what I mean? Like, I think, you know, people would quite easily just think of Paul at his height. But I like him as a person.
I think to some degree, though, he obviously acknowledges that because it's without being rude, he wouldn't be filming with you if he wasn't 7'7". If he was 7'2", he probably wouldn't have done because he wouldn't have been Europe's tallest man. What about then, I've got another question for you, and I'm going to try and pick one as well, a slept-on video. So a video on the channel that you really like that hasn't done that well in views that people listening who might not... Well, they go quite old as well, maybe. So people might go, after this podcast, I'll try that video. You know, like, one that's not popped massively. Because there's been a lot of videos that haven't really popped. I'm going to give two.
I think I've got one.
Go on, do you want to hit yours? See if it's one of mine.
Quite a recent one.
Okay.
Which I think deserved much more praise. Yeah. And it was probably the hardest video I've ever made. Ever.
Okay.
To the point where the next day, I pretty much was bedbound.
1,000 balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good video.
I tried to hit 1,000 golf balls in one day. Honestly, that was one of the hardest videos I've ever had to do. It was boring. It was hard. My hands were aching. My feet were aching. Everything was aching. The next day, I was literally bedbound, I promise you. It's had 327,000 views.
It's not worth getting out of bed for that, is it?
Literally, we could do that in a 5-minute coaching video. But either way, it's not all about views, but that was one that I felt like deserved much more praise.
I've got two here, and weirdly, I've scrolled down the YouTube page. They're actually released within a week or so of each other, and which I couldn't believe. The first one is the one we did at Q School. So it's called Becoming a Pro Golfer on the Tour, and it's only 13 minutes long, so it's quite quick pace. Essentially, myself and Rick, obviously Rick, you'll see in the video clearly. I don't know why
I was there.
Yeah, Rick came with me. we went to Spain, and you filmed the video, Lumina, which was the qualifying school for the European Tour. Like a mini documentary. It's quite artsy. It wasn't our usual editor. We brought somebody different. And it was just a real insight to what it takes to get onto the European Tour. And I think that was a really good video. And the other one I've picked out, which has done a bit better actually, was when we played with Robin Tiger Williams.
Oh, yeah.
So it's called simply called Playing Golf with a New Tiger. And obviously there's a boy, well, a man, I suppose, now called Robin Tiger Williams, who is a golfer who played in the Junior Ryder Cup, who is incredibly talented. And it was Rick playing with him at the Belfry. He's an unbelievably intelligent, switched-on, polite young lad who's an unbelievable golfer. And that was a video that's kind of done all right in hindsight. It's had nearly 400,000 views, but I bet it's one a lot of people listening haven't watched. And if you want to see someone that can play golf properly, watch that video.
I'll tell you one as well. I've just gone as far back as that. When I played with Padraig Harrington.
Yeah, Henny Goyle. Henny Goyle,
and Max Hopkinson.
Yeah,
he was off +3 when we played at the British Masters in the Pro-Am.
I've got another one as well.
It's on 167,000 views.
And then just below that, you've got when we played with NASA Hakatoka.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's at 155,000 views.
What?
Which, I know, and please, if anyone's listening, don't think this is some weird flex at how many views we get, because those actually aren't particularly good views for what the channel should get. It's just that sometimes, and certainly recently, we'll film a club with like a gimmicky illegal golf club that will blow up because people want to see it, and we love making those videos because they're fun. But some of these videos logistically have taken a lot more planning, you know, organising with people to meet them at certain locations, going a long way for us to get there. Like obviously the Spain one, we had to go to Spain, and we're filming loads of these aspiring European tour players. We've got some really in-depth behind the scenes interviews with them, and yet it kind of doesn't do anywhere near as good. It's a bit disheartening sometimes. But
it's mad how like so many of them sat in that like 150s, 160 mark, yeah, that are amazing videos. The world's first Rick Shields putter.
Yeah, that was a great video.
That was such a good video. Again, it's done nothing. 85,000 views. Or...
Anyway, that was quite quick.
I'll tell you another one. Playing with Aaron Moon.
Yeah, that's
one-legged almost, golfer. Yeah. Again, that such an amazing story. How he got his leg blown off in combat. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, didn't really do well. Either way.
Another question for you then.
Did I answer what my favourite one is then?
You went with tall pole. Any tall pole?
Oh yeah. And also swingless driver.
Yeah. So that's an example of one that didn't take that much work, but yeah, it blows up.
But I really like that video. I'm playing at Lake Nona.
There's a lot
I'm
of
playing at TPC Sawgrass.
Right, Ian's asked, when are you going to get a top PGA pro an interview for the podcast?
Oh, like a proper
like
pro?
Like a proper pro.
We've spoke about this a lot, haven't we?
Yes.
And it's do we want them... I think if we were going to have it, and this is honestly God's honest truth, because we've had some opportunities now, and you know, I've not jumped at them as such, so I'm on the podcast.
We've turned down one that I regret, actually, and it's not a player.
A podcast? Yeah. Guest?
Yeah.
You're allowed to say who?
I think I can.
I'm trying to think. Who have we not had on?
Think of somebody that's a club builder, a club maker.
Scotty?
Very close.
Bob?
Yeah.
Bob Vokey.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the time when we didn't quite know where we were at with
them. Done it now.
Yeah.
We got offered a chance to do a podcast with Bob Vokey, and we turned it down, didn't we? We both had the same idea, yeah, because we were concerned that us doing an interview with Bob Vokey looks like we're being very pro-titleist and it almost come across as a sponsored thing, which obviously it wouldn't be. And we turned that down. I think now with the podcast got to and the audience that we've built up and the way we chat, it would work.
I think bringing a guest on would either need to be like a section in the podcast,
yep,
or they'd have to be sat with us.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because if it was just over the phone, which obviously the modern world is at the moment, like I'd love to talk to Bryson today.
Mm-hmm.
I would. But it'd have to just be a quick 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, because otherwise they've got to be in the room, and I would love it in the room. We're talking about Dear Golf. Get their take on it. Dear, yeah, Rick, get their take on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if we just sat down with Bryson now, as cool as it would be, and said, how do you feel winning your major? Oh, yeah, you know, I feel great.
You've heard it
on every interview. It has to be, like, aligned to our podcast. So maybe, if people keep downloading it, we might do that.
Yeah.
Okay, another quick one. Hi, Rick and Guy. What did you do with your hole-in-one ball and club?
That's a great question. It is currently still... So I've got five things from that hole in one that I want to keep and frame.
Okay.
I know it's 3 years gone now, but I do. The 7-iron that I hit,
mm-hmm,
Wilson V6 7-iron. I've got that exact club. I used a TaylorMade TP5 golf, yep, ball. I've still got that exact golf ball. I've got the open qualifying scorecard that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the actual flag, the nice open flag at West Lancs, which I stole. What do you think the fifth thing is?
Tea.
No, I didn't keep the tea. After the round, I got presented with
a tie.
The Open Championship tie, which that's apparently cool, only people with hole-in-ones and the Open Champion himself wins or gets presented one of these ties.
That's very cool.
So I think one day I'll put in a really nice little trophy cabinet of some description.
Keep it all nice.
Hopefully I know where the golf ball is. I definitely know where everything else is. I'm not sure about the golf ball.
Yeah, I've had
TP5 in.
I've had two holes in one. The first one was like when I was 15, no idea what the ball is. Last one was about 2015 with a Nike Resin Platinum. Gave it to my niece, weirdly. I think she's lost it, probably.
Nice.
So I thought it was quite cool giving it to her. And I just think she wasn't actually that bothered at the time. She's probably a lot four.
I must admit, you see players on tour again watching the golf this weekend where they've holed out or they've hit an amazing shot or they've won a tournament, they're signing the ball and giving it away.
Yeah,
I find that like Matt Wolff when he shot his 65 on Saturday, that is an iconic round of golf. He signed the ball, gave it to the marshal or something.
And I think some people don't care about material things, do they? That's right or wrong. Like if you look at footballers after a match, a lot of them want to swap shirts for the players keep them. And like, oh, I want to keep that because I've got Messi's shirt or Lampard's shirt a few years ago, whatever. I don't know why I chose Frank Lampard out of the footballers ever. I just did. Whereas other footballers, I don't think are that bothered.
Yeah, it's weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not that bothered about keeping things. Like my brother, for example, that keeps loads of stuff. It doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, but I'm probably a bit more of a keeper, a bit more of a hoarder. I wouldn't massively want to give something of value, personal value, away so much. But either way.
I'll be honest, I don't know how I rank this podcast so far.
What are you thinking?
Probably like a 6 out of 10. Mm. What do you think?
Too much golf, maybe?
Possibly. But having said that, it's meant we've got it out. We've recorded it Monday. It's going to be out for Tuesday, probably first thing in the morning, so people can have it ready in their inbox. Next week's will be better, probably.
Yeah, we've got a guest.
The week after that will be really good. So it'll all be back to normal.
I don't think this is a bad one.
No, I don't think it's a bad one. I don't know. Just saying. I'm not saying start it all again. I'm just saying it's...
For our millionth download podcast, I thought it was super chill.
Just a quick one, actually, yeah. On Amazon, this is really sad to say, and I appreciate people don't. Amazon Music you have to pay for, but Amazon Music app you don't, and they're putting podcasts on there for free. So even if you listen to us on Apple or on Spotify, if you wanted to be a super, super, super top fan, you could download Amazon Music and subscribe to us on there as well. Just...
You know what we've not talked about?
Go on.
AJ.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, I believe golf's becoming cool.
Yeah.
I really
cooler,
do.
Definitely cool. Well, yeah. Cooler, for sure.
I think there's so many now, like, celebrities, mainstream celebrities, either from pop culture, someone like a Macklemore, or from sports. Like, David Beckham was out with his kids recently playing golf. Mm. I mean, that is cool. More recently, on Instagram and Twitter over the weekend, Anthony Joshua, you might be able to, like, introduce him better. Is he a heavyweight champion of the world?
Heavyweight champion of the world,
right.
Yeah.
Heavyweight champion of the world, UK guy, absolute beast. Put a tweet. What are they called these days? Tweet on.
Tweet on.
What are they called? Tweet.
That's tweet. Yeah, they call it tweet, right?
Yeah, I sound like a proper dad. Put a tweet on one of those Instagram posts that he's been kicked out by Ping and he's got a full set of clubs and he wants some lessons. So I put a little cheeky comment on there, offering lessons. However, I said there was a catch. I kind of called Anthony Joshua out, heavyweight champion of the world.
Keyboard warrior.
I said, I'll help you out. However, you've got to drop the iron head covers because on his irons at the moment, he had head covers on, which... for such a strong man.
But, right, head covers on irons, I don't use. I've done this before in the old Change My Mind section, which you may bring back because some people quite liked it. But if you're new to golf, right, I'm not saying he has a cover on his phone, he may do. Why would, you've got a putter cover on, your head cover on your driver, your three-wood, your hybrid, you're given a set of irons and someone goes, oh, these keep them nice from banging against each other. And you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I'm carrying this bag around, of course, with 8 metal objects banging against each other. So my phone's in a cover. Because I don't want to drop my iPhone, I have to buy a new one and break the screen. So actually, I may as well put these on to protect them from getting dinks. And then, why would that be weird?
It's just
Should he drop them?
It's just not very cool, is it?
Does Anthony Joshua need to be cooler, though? Maybe he's too cool. Maybe he's thinking, I want to look less cool. Maybe it's going to make him cool now. That's a challenge for you, right? I've got a challenge for you. Right, this is going to be a podcast exclusive. Next video we film, put iron head covers on.
And
see if we can, yeah, do it right now. See if we can make it fashionable.
After I've slagged them off so much.
That's the point. Podcast listeners will know. And anyone that's not a podcast listener will be out of the loop.
Right. Iron head covers.
Think about it.
I'm on Amazon right now.
If you're buying, I mean, I've not got any, but if you're buying forged irons and they're 20 quid and it keeps them better condition.
What are the worst ones?
I don't get zippies. Graphite zippies.
You know what you don't like as well? The plastic ones. You know, like mold to the head.
Oh, I don't mind. Castle Bays.
Is that what they're called?
Well, there is a brand called Castle Bay that makes head covers.
I quite like just the leather slip-ons.
A I just cut that bit and just put that as a teaser for the podcast.
Like them.
Oh no, they're horrendous. Rick, show me a one that looks like, is that, you know, like when if you ever bought a ping guy and brand new, it has like those little things on that you just take off.
Do you not like them?
It's like a credit card holder for your iron. No, they're dreadful. Well, maybe you get, if you like them, you get them.
No. Well, I don't like any of them, if I'm honest. I feel like I'm kind of being pressured into this, but
it's all fun.
I will get some. I can't. What are you thinking? Like
anything?
So these are the ones you don't like, aren't
they? Let's have a look. If they've got the zip down, the ones that are more for graphite, they have like a zip that goes down the shaft.
These are really bad because they're black and yellow. Looks like you got a bag full of bloody bumblebees or something, or wasps.
These could be the ones. Get them. They
not.
Yeah, get them.
Can I get black
red,
and grey?
Black and red.
They don't do black and red. Black and white.
Go black and white. Will do
them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, then after a video, what I've got to do, put them on your irons, right? Do an Instagram post, and we'll make up a caption. Or maybe you could email us the caption. Email's podcast@rickshields.com with Rick's Instagram caption, and we'll pick the best one.
Oh my God.
What things you do for our podcast? And if you listen this far in, you're a proper
this is proper fizzled off. It was maybe an 8 or 7 out of 10 before. Now it's gone down to like a 4. I'm still not convinced about those ones.
You know what's the worst bit of this podcast now? There'll be people who will listen to it in the gym, like on the treadmill, like you've done a good workout, and they're getting to the end now, they're absolutely knackered, and we're just chatting on absolute nonsense.
Talking about bloody iron.
No motivation.
I'm literally now... Ooh. I'm going to show you these.
Okay, I'll try and describe them to the audience.
I want you in less than 3 seconds, yeah, tell me a golfer that we both know that would definitely have these on the bag.
I know it's going to be already. Rob Potter. Get them ones.
These are leather, yeah, head covers.
Maybe pleather.
One side, synthetic leather, it says.
Yeah, yeah, so pleather.
Which on one side is stitched with either 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, a wedge.
Yeah.
Pitching wedge and sand wedge, which is okay. It's not the end of the world. On the other side, skull and crossbones.
Yeah.
Am I doing this? Now, I've never, ever, ever, ever seen this on Amazon ever before.
Okay.
This item cannot be returned.
£20. Yeah, get them. They'll do.
Come here tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll So, yeah, this podcast is going to be out on Tuesday, so you need to get emailing really quickly. Or actually, you could DM us on Instagram, which is @TheRickShieldsGolfShow. However you want to get in touch, but it's going to be quick. He's bought them. He's got them.
Thank you for your order.
Perfect.
I must admit, I bought some crap in my time.
The kind of caption I'm thinking of, and this could even be it, but it would be for people. Like, so you put a picture on every bag, yeah? Irons in there, the head covers on, just a single caption. Haters gonna hate, but with a Z on the haters
and a little skull and crossbones.
Yeah, that's it. Done,
guys. Thanks so much for listening for the podcast. I feel like we're smashed. We've been drinking.
Oh, we've not said it. It's the prosecco at this wedding. How it goes to you?
I feel like I'm drunk. Right, have a great day, everyone. Enjoy. We'll see you next week. Like I say, hopefully, fingers crossed. Nice little guest next week. I think it'll be very interesting hearing the story.
Yes.
Bye, Guy.
Bye, Rick.
We'll see you Friday.
I'll see you when we put the mics down now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.